You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
The big story of the day
with Clement Maniatella.
So let's talk about the ANC's finances now. The party has been struggling to pay employees their salaries. Payments have been delayed for several times now. So the party's employees are now expected to protest outside Luthuli House tomorrow, the ANC headquarters, and even at the party's regional offices. They want to raise their grievances, one of which is this concern that even their Provident Fund is apparently in arrears for the past 28 months. Let's speak to the man now who's responsible for the party's finances to find out what's going on and how is the party getting its house in order. And that's Paul Mashatile, who is the ANC's Treasurer General. Mr. Mashatile, thanks so much for your time. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you very much, Clement.
Why have salary payments for your employees been delayed? It's been a while now. Is the ANC bankrupt?
No, we're not bankrupt, Clement. The problem is, funding from donors have been trickling as opposed to the previous years. You may recall that from the 1st of April, we have a new law that governs how political parties receive their funding. And essentially, it's four sources. We get our funding from membership fees, levies from public reps, and then from government. Then we used to get money from agencies overseas, and then lastly, if people are in business. Mm. Now, since the advent of the new law, Party Funding Act, there's been a great reluctance from many businesses to donate because of disclosure.
Mm.
So as a result, we struggle to get money on time as opposed to the previous years.
Mm. Is it only about the law, Mr. Mashatile, or is it also about the revelations that we've seen, particularly at the State Capture Commission, where we've seen how some businesses have actually been funding the ANC and donating to the ANC, and in return, they would be given business in government?
Well, during my time as the Treasurer General of the ANC, we've not experienced a lot of that. Of course, it is true that some of those who would donate to the ANC would be people who are doing work with the state or their tenders with government. However, there is no quid pro quo. We would not say, donate to the ANC because we'll give you tenders. It may well be that the reluctance now is also because people think they will be accused of getting tenders because they fund the ANC, so they stay away. But there is also another factor, which is I think since the pandemic in 2020 and the lockdown of the economy, many businesses have been struggling. Others who would otherwise fund us have closed down. So it is a combination of factors that makes it very difficult in the funding environment, particularly from donors, to have money as regular as possible.
Mm. Is the other issue perhaps the salary bill and the fact that it's so high that it's unsustainable? That I saw the Sunday Times reporting yesterday that you are in the process of auditing your employees because you've identified some ghost workers on your payroll. Is that true?
Well, we don't have the final report yet. Let me put it this way. What we did from 2019, we appointed a team to relook at our structure. We came to the conclusion that our salary bill is too high at more than 50% of our income. We then did some work, but by 2020, when we were supposed to relook at the implementation of this report, the pandemic struck, and we then took a decision, let's wait until the situation gets better, because that report basically points to the fact that we need to cut down on staff. And we just felt that it was not the right time to be able to do that. So we delayed the report. We have now revived it again to look at it. And the officials have agreed that our salary bill makes it makes our budget to be too high. So it's unsustainable, basically. So we are moving that direction, but we thought, you know, we don't want to do it abruptly. We need to look at various issues, audit employees, like you say in the report, that some people are saying to me, look, I think you need to do some roll count. There are people who are not working, but they are on the payroll. But we want to do it properly because we don't want people to feel they are being targeted unnecessarily. But it is clear that unless we reduce our expenditure on salary and wages, it is going to become difficult in the coming months and years.
So how many people are you planning to cut? And I hear you say the environment was not conducive. Last year, you've decided to delay it. My understanding is you have about, 387 or so staff members. Do you think you can do with half of that? How many people are you looking at retrenching?
Well, the team that is doing the report believes that we could do with half of the number of people we have at the moment. But we've agreed that the way to do it firstly is to look at people who are approaching pensionable age. You get those out of the system first. Then you look at those who are doing core business. You want to keep those and look at changing some of the functions that we do. Because, you know, during the pandemic now, there are other functions that, in a sense, have become redundant. We're not doing rallies at the moment. There are a lot of things that we're not doing. Meetings are virtual, so we don't need people to be driving people to NEC meetings and so on and so on. So you begin to look at that. And for other activities like your election campaign, we believe that you can bring people for that period. So from July, the head of the election says, we're going to run a 3-month intensive campaign, so you need these people to come in. As soon as you're done with the elections, you round off. You don't have to keep people in the system. So basically, you run with temporary staff for particular activities, then you can sustain your salary bill because you're not keeping a huge number of people on the payroll.
Is the Secretary General's office a big contributor to the high salary bill? What's the staff complement in that office?
Well, we're currently doing the audit. I wouldn't just blame his office. We have asked the team to look at all offices. It is true, though, that sometimes when new leaders come in, they would like certain people to come on board, but the other people are still in the system. You have to shift them around to other departments, but they don't get out of the system. So this has been building over time. I don't think it's something that would have just started in 2017. A number of us as new leaders, myself, the Secretary General, we did bring new people. So it may well be that other offices brought more than the others, but we all have to take the blame for it. And that's why we agreed, including with the SG, that we do need to cut down. So all leaders have agreed. So there will be no holy cow that this office must not be touched. We're looking at all offices from the presidency, the Secretary General, the TG's office, and then we look at international relations. So the audit is very extensive.
Isn't the problem, Mr. Mashatile, that you've also had to accommodate ANC leaders who were left out of cabinet by the president? You gave Malusi Gigaba a full-time job after he was out of cabinet, Nomvula Mokonyane. At some point, Fikile Mbalula was full-time, and that there are others. Do you pay these people what government was paying them as soon as you moved them over to Luthuli House on a full-time basis?
No, we couldn't afford to pay them as ministers, but would pay them similar to senior managers at Luthuli House. But the reason was not just to accommodate them. There was a valid reason when these comrades came over. For instance, with Comrade Nomvula, the NEC had taken a decision that the head of organizing should come in full time. With Malusi, it was also the issue of policy, that the head of policy should come full time. So there were reasons why people came over. But with the audit we are doing now, we will be able to say, can we do with the head of policy maybe not being full-time at Luthuli House? Mm. It could be an MP or et cetera, et cetera. Some of our provinces, for instance, have approached me to say, look, we can take over our provincial staff. So we're going to be discussing with some. Some have already done it. The Northern Cape, for instance, has said to me, look, let's lower the burden from the Luthuli House. We will take care of the people who work for us in the province. We will raise money for that, which I think is a good idea. Instead of the Luthuli House taking a burden for the whole country, then we get our structures to raise money in the regions where they are to pay the people who work for them. But they'll also make sure that they don't keep, you know, a big number of employees, because I mean, for instance, I was telling some other people that when I was the provincial secretary of the ANC, I was in the Gauteng legislature. I would go to the office, do ANC work. Same with Obed Papela, who was my deputy. We didn't sit full-time in the ANC office. We were nearby, would then have to divide our work to do our legislature work and do the ANC work. So it is possible that you don't have to be physically employed at the ANC, but you are able still to plan your program in such a way that you can do ANC work.
Yeah, and sometimes I suppose there must be value for money. I mean, is Collins Maine, for instance, is Collins Maine an advisor in the deputy president's office at Luthuli House? How necessary is that, if that's the case? Because that really looks like a job creation scheme for cadres.
Yeah, that's why I said in our approach with auditing now is that there will be no holy cow. We're looking at all offices, and we may well come to the conclusion that that function is not necessary. So we might be very brutal in the way we deal with this matter, because it is not sustainable. Our salary bill is just too high. And remember, Clement, the problem is that if you are a donor-funded organization like us, you have private companies retrenching because they are feeling the pressure in the economy. They are not doing well. Yet we, who get donations from them, do nothing about the situation. So that's why people will be reluctant and say, look, we are reducing our staff. We are changing the way we operate. But you, the ANC, you want to go on as if it's business as usual. So the audit has been very important for us, and it will be concluded shortly.
Yeah.
But as I said, we've been avoiding to act abruptly. This must be done professionally. And then the leadership will say, okay, fine, this is it now. Let's move in that direction.
Yeah. So the employees at Luthuli House are expected to protest tomorrow. What are you going to tell them? And the argument has been that you've not been communicating with them as the Treasurer General. Why have you not taken the workers into your confidence?
Well, there are protocols at Luthuli House that are being followed to communicate with staff. There is a general manager who meets with all managers, and they communicate with staff. So it's true, it's not me. And communication with staff is done by the general manager. I brief them to say, look, this month there will be a delay in salaries. We won't be able to pay you. On this day, we might be pay you 10 days later. The general manager will then communicate with them. And secondly, the employer is not the treasurer general at the ANC. It is the Secretary General's office responsible for staff. So communication would be expected to come from the Secretary General's office. I would brief, for instance, now Comrade Jesse as a person who's taking care of the Secretary General's office will be briefed, and she'll be able to brief the general managers and everybody else. So our staff is not quite in the dark, but we understood when they said they are going to protest because they are obviously affected. And as people who work for the ANC, we agreed with Comrade JC and others that, look, it is their right to voice their dissatisfaction. But we are putting plans in place. This morning, the top six will be meeting. I'll be giving the report of what plans we are putting in place to be able to mitigate the hardships and going forward to be able to get resources as much as we can. So we're not just sitting back and not doing anything. We are doing our best.
Yeah. Did President Cyril Ramaphosa use his own money to pay for employees' salaries? And how much has he spent?
We have agreed as the officials that we shouldn't allow a situation where one of the officials has to personally take care of the ANC. So what we do, the president will help raise money like all other officials. So it's not, they don't just leave it to me. So at some point, we'll have a discussion and the president will say, look, let's approach so-and-so. The deputy president will say, let's approach so-and-so. So it's not a personal intervention because it would not be fair that any of the leaders should take their private resources and use it to pay.
So he didn't use his own money, but he raised funds for the organization to pay for the salaries of employees.
Yes, he does help raise funds, like as I said, like all other leaders in the ANC do help, and of course the president would, as part of the top six, will be the one who would work closely with the Treasurer General and the Deputy President, the SG. So yes, but we would not allow a situation where the president has to use his personal money to pay ANC salary, because it's a lot of money.
The Mail and Guardian reported last month that the president closed the tabs because you and the deputy president of the party, David Mabuza, pocketed funds that were intended for the party's coffers. They mentioned, I think, an amount of about $2 million from donors that never made it into the ANC bank account. Did you guys receive such an amount of money and did you pocket it?
No, it's not true. The resources of the ANC, whenever I raise it, goes straight to the ANC. And that the deputy president does not get involved in controlling resources of the ANC. All the leaders avoid to get involved with the resources. They would raise funds and they'll say, TG, such and such company or such and such a person wants to donate, I will then link up with these people and give them our accounts to transfer money into our accounts and then keep such records. So there's not $2 million that was given to me and Deputy President and we use it for our own personal benefits. It was just a big lie.
All right. Thank you for making time, Mr. Mashatile. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Lemon.
All right. Paul Mashatile is the Treasurer General of the ANC. All right. So what do you think of what Paul is saying? Mr. Mashatile says we are not bankrupt as the ANC, and yet since 2019 or so, they've been struggling to pay salaries on time. Their employees will be protesting tomorrow. I want to get your reaction. 011-883-0702. Your WhatsApp's on 072-702-1702. James, you're calling from Alberton. Hi.
Good morning, Clement.
It's Ada.
Yes. I'm a little bit perturbed about this issue because this is not the first time. This is not the first time. I remember very well, I can't remember the year, but it was Eusebius Makaiza, who was interviewing the very same as treasurer. The treasurer did say it emphatically that I do not care. He asked me, why are people paid late or whatever? He said, I do not care. Up until this point in time, I've kept that what's called the I do not care response up until I would love to see him on the set. Chatile must apologize to the world. All the time it's late. All the time it's late. Or we can't have a situation all the time. He is being paid on time.
Yeah, look, James.
Thank you.
James, obviously, I hear your frustration there, but I just need to correct you that because he never said, I do not care. My understanding is he was asked why staff weren't paid on time, and he said they were paid in December on the 27th. And Eusebius asked him, why not before Christmas so that they can have money for Christmas? And he said, but that's not my problem. That was his response. I don't remember the part where he said, I do not care. But I get your point that what you are getting from the ANC is that they're simply in their actions showing that they don't really care much about their employees. Someone on the SMS line says, hi, Clement. The ANC has been using our SOEs as their cash cows via their CEOs. We all know that. That's why we never bothered to audit their payroll. Mr. Mashatile must actually come clean. That's what somebody else is saying there. Somebody else says, Clement, ANC having a lesson in humility. Years ago, a friend worked at Luthuli House. She gave me a Giorgio Armani gift set, a leather handbag, two watches, his and hers, and a leather belt, all branded Giorgio Armani, valued at several thousands. She was handing these out to family and friends. Talk about abusing privileges. No wonder there was no care and attention given to the poorest of the poor. Too busy living it up. Sickening. That's an SMS coming through as well as someone responding to the ANC's troubled finances. When are they going to get their house in order?